Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. I am your host, Chris George Zuger, and you have entered the Den of Lore. Pull your glass of scotch up to the fire, because we're going to learn some cool shit tonight about Cambridge Analytica, the social media analysis and data analysis marketing company. Based in the UK, but also operating in the United States with none other than the world's foremost conspiracy psychologist alive today, and possibly alive ever, Mr. Neil Sanders is joining us for a very special masterclass. And I want to give just a quick apology to the masters that are out there. Well, I know that I had mentioned that Richard Cassaro was going to be on the program. Richard is busier than I am, if that's actually possible, and had to postpone. He has a very, very important book that is just about to be released, and he needs to make sure that it gets done for his editors, and I want to make sure that he can do that so he can get to the North American continent for his tour this May. Richard, wherever you are, keep on fighting the good fight. And I want to say, we'll miss you. And I swear, Richard, whenever you want to come back in, you're more than welcome. But that being said, I'm going to welcome our guest onto the show. I'll just make sure that I've got a good amount of fade here for this changeover. And let's go down to the screen share. There he is. Neil, welcome to the program once again. It's good to have you on the show. There have been a lot of changes to the atmosphere since last time you were on, and I want to thank you very much for your patience. Like Richard, you know, you run three businesses, you raise a three-month-old, things get a little bit crazy, but thankfully, you also had some things to take care of this afternoon, but we can still sit down this evening and tonight for you to discuss this very important topic, which is Cambridge Analytica and, well, social media propaganda, mind control, which is what you know. It's what you write about. It's what you are the subject matter expert on.
Well, you're too kind, but thank you very much. But and thank you for inviting me back on. It's always a pleasure. And I'm looking forward to this. I've only just noticed all your whiskeys behind you, actually. Sorry, we've been chatting for about half an hour before we went on air. I didn't notice any of that.
Well, the whiskeys, they are, how should I put it? They're empty. I've got the bottle of Glenfiddich nearby. I recommend the 12-year if you're going to be having more than just like a small glass, but it's Friday afternoon. I'm sticking with the brew myself.
Fair play.
Now, I want to be able to just give a quick shout out to our patrons, as we do with every single show, especially to our masters and our illustrious masters, whom the show's about. Just to give you guys a heads up, we're going to probably be going at least about half an hour, and then I'm going to switch over to the standard YouTube feed, which you can access through patreon.com/denoflore, and it's only accessible to our masters and illustrious masters, and we try and hold these once a month. There have been some months where I've held two, so with building a studio, I'm kind of bad at time management, I guess, if you throw in as many projects as I'm dealing with at the same time. But, you know, you either sink or swim, and our patrons are helping us swim like, was it Michael Phelps? Was it pre-weed Michael Phelps? We were swimming like pre-weed Michael Phelps, thanks to our masters and illustrious masters. They've helped us build the studio. They've helped us build the hardware, which is allowing me to speak with Neil right now on the line without having any issues or dropping of audio. So to Jackie from across the pond, to Pat from Brooklyn, thank you very much for your continued support. To Jenny, Dobermeer, Lee Veltman, Chuck Schwartz, Jared Thompson, Mrs. Fox, Roses Wayne, Joshua E. Matic, Mark Catalano, and our den mother, Eleanor Curdy. To our masters, I salute you. And thank you very much for believing in me, believing in the show and the channel, and for helping us grow. And now that we have an audio technician who is helping us, because I can't ask Bram to do everything, even though I know he'd like to. I still want to make sure he's not too stressed out and gets to the point I'm at. You know, we can do things like this to make sure we can continue to elevate that level of quality. We may not be on time, but what you get's going to be fantastic. As well as to the rest of our patrons, Eric J. Ferguson, Martin Hackinson, Photopic, Nick Z. Cray Yurt, Charles Davis, Tiago Bauer, Michael Eckhoff, Dean John Ketterett, Anthony Derry, Atlantic Kush, Venice from Magical Egypt, Christopher Moody, Robin Webley, and courtesy of denoflore.com, and smacking that PayPal button. You can donate by credit card using PayPal as well through that button. Hobby, who is rounding out our list of patrons. This makes sure that we can do shows like this, where we can say whatever the hell we want on air and not have corporate sponsors freaking out. Speaking of corporate sponsors, I'm surprised that the sponsors for Facebook have not been absolutely freaking out since this Cambridge Analytica information dropped. The thing is, I think they knew. It's been in the news for months, if not since the first time we talked. What's your overall take on the big picture?
I don't think they're going to publicly reveal the sort of the broader aspects of what Cambridge Analytica do. I mean, what's been interesting is the way that a certain swathe of the media, particularly the alternative media, have tried to dismiss this for whatever reason. It's not a particularly terrifying proposition. What Cambridge Analytica is a data mining corporation, essentially, but it's what it actually does with that data that is quite scary. If you go on Cambridge Analytica's website, on the masthead, it says data-driven behavior change, which is really sort of like dystopic and and quite like, you know, that's a bold move. Cambridge Analytica formed in 2013, and basically they officially what they do is data mining and advertising campaigns, trying to manipulate thought, manipulate behavior, and manipulate action with a view to promoting usually some sort of political action. So essentially this is a corporation that tries to manipulate who gets into power in certain countries. It was also exposed recently that they were not averse to doing dirty tricks, by which you know, honey traps, filming people, offering them like ludicrous amounts of money to do like nefarious things, and you know, sort of ensnaring them in entrapment type projects and stuff like that. Again, in order to manipulate for the will of their clients, and their clients would usually be some sort of government organization that wishes to promote themselves in a particular way. In about 2011, I believe they Oh, 2015. Basically, Cambridge Analytica merged. Well, it was created because the person that owns it is a gentleman called Robert Mercer. And what he did was basically he merged his interests or his massive, massive wealth with a company called SCL, which is it was an English company essentially. And what this SCL does is, again, it's behavior change. I'm just going to read it. The best way to do this is just to go off their own literature. This is actually on the Wikipedia page. It's a private British behavioural research and strategic communication company. It was founded in 1990 by Nigel Oakes, who had a background in TV production and advertising, as a research facility for strategic communication, the study of mass behaviour and how to change it. And this led him to form Strategic Communication Laboratories in 1993. Oakes thought that in order to shift mass opinion, academic insights as gained through psychologists and anthropologists at BDI should be applied and would be more successful than traditional advertising methods. So this is basically a psychological operations company. After initial commercial success, SEL expanded into military and political arenas, and it became known for alleged involvement in military disinformation campaigns to social media branding and voter targeting. According to its website, SEL has participated in over 25 international political and electoral campaigns since 1994. So what is it doing in these types of campaigns? As admitted, Recently, Cambridge Analytica, which is basically interchangeable with SEL, what they formed this one massive company. SEL was basically founded off the back of British military intelligence warfare psychological programs. We'll come into it later, like connections to the Tory party, Marconi defense, all sorts of really, really sort of high level government and military intelligence intelligence agencies and weapons in military industrial complex type agencies. There's a huge sort of cross connection. I get the impression that these companies, SEL certainly, and Cambridge Analytica by connection, because as I say, they are an extension of the same company, are these sort of like private military corporations, these private intelligence agencies like Stratfor that essentially exist in the public domain, but their clientele is almost exclusively military, government organisations, intelligence organisations, law enforcement agencies like the CIA and the FBI and such like that. And they act as a sort of extended branch of government. If you want to use sort of buzzwords, this is essentially the deep state. This is the sort of manipulation of public perception and political policy behind the scenes, but taken from a corporate angle.
But wait, like, and I'm going to sound kind of smart ass here by saying this, but doesn't like Alex Jones and every single Trump supporter say that they're fighting the deep state?
Yes, they do. Bizarrely, Alex Jones tried to poo-poo Cambridge Analytica just the other day as Steve Bannon, former editor of Breitbart, former chief executive of Cambridge Analytica for a time, he said that this was essentially just him trying to create a conservative mailing list because the right wing had no such database.
And by, well, and again, Alex Jones is known for two things. Well, three things. Being a lying jackass, taking his shirt off, and selling dick pills. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's one more.
He totally avoided mentioning any connection to Robert Mercer as well, who is the financier of the owner of Cambridge Analytica, the financier of Breitbart, mm-hmm. and also the main financier of the Trump political campaign. And again, we'll come on to that shortly. But basically, Cambridge Analytica was seemingly very influential in getting Trump elected. They initially bragged about this, and then they later backtracked, and then they completely memory-holed any sort of involvement with it. Similarly to Brexit, which we'll also come on to. But on the recent Channel 4 expose, Alexander Nix, who's the MI5 and MI6 connected person that runs Cambridge Analytica until very recently when he was told to step aside, was talking about how they managed to manipulate the election in Kenya. And he said, basically, we've rebranded the entire party twice, written the manifesto, done research, analysis, messaging. I think we wrote all the speeches and we staged the whole thing. So just about every element of this candidate So it's just about just about every element of this candidate. And this was actually Turnbull, who was immediately beneath Alexander Nix in Cambridge Analytica, said this. But that's terrifying. This is a private company that is in clandestine recordings, but is essentially admitting that one of their particular campaigns projects was to get this particular person elected in Kenya. And people are going to say, yeah, fine, all right, you know, they've always got sort of help and stuff like that. They always have media analysts and they always have people that are helping. But this is very, very different because of the particular methods that they're using, which is military psychological warfare operation style techniques. And they, again, have admitted this and bragged about this, and this comes from the connections to SCL. Essentially, what they would do, they'd do all sorts of things, but one of the most sort of prevalent things that they do is they spread fake news to create outrage. Have we seen any of that recently?
But also
they create sock puppet accounts. What happened essentially with that has just been exposed is that they bought some legitimately, not just Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all of this, all your social media. Okay, all your social media is founded by CIA anyway. Like, this is what it is. It's a data mining tool. They basically bought all your information, but it was more sinister than that. They applied algorithms to start looking through your private messages and things like that to see what created fear in you, or what they felt that they could prod and manipulate in order to direct your behavior in a particular way, cause anger, cause disgust, or cause happiness and elation, essentially. And this is very similar to a lot of CIA operations that were going on through Facebook throughout the early 2000s, but we'll come on to that later. So what they did was they basically harvested this material and decided how they could best manipulate people individually. And they would send sometimes dozens, sometimes hundreds of sock puppet accounts, people that were basically bots that were essentially set up to act like real people and interact with you and make you angry. They would direct news stories to you that would make you angry. They would direct memes to you and conversations and threads that would make you angry in order to manipulate your behavior. In connection with the Leave EU campaign, basically they spoke to, where's this particular quote? Andy Wigmore, who was Leave.eu's communications director, told The Observer that Robert Mercer had directed Cambridge Analytica to help the Leave EU campaign, basically because he was a friend of Nigel Farage, was the official explanation, although they did receive a huge amount of money for this. Andy Wigmore explained, also this was a word that he was working at the time in capacity with Aaron Banks, who was the financier of UKIP. UKIP is the party that used to be run by Nigel Farage, that is essentially is nationalistic, identitarian. Some have accused it of being racist, and the evidence is that basically a lot of the time they have been very racist. Andy Wigmore, the head of the LeaveEU campaign, said that a Facebook like was their most potent weapon, because using artificial intelligence, as we did, it tells you all sorts of things about that individual and how to convince them with what sort of advert. And you knew that there would be other people in their network who liked what they liked, so it could spread. The computer never stops learning, and it never stops monitoring. And when the Observer reporter said to Andy Wigmore, well, that's incredibly creepy, he says, yeah, no, it is incredibly creepy, and that's why I got off Facebook. So that's what they were doing there. They've also manipulated the election in Nigeria. Basically, what they said there was The candidate they didn't want to get in was named Buhari. And they say, there was a lot of scared millionaires worried that Buhari would get in. It was all very last minute, but a team flew out to Abuja to put together a communications campaign. It was a straightforward, normal comms campaign in most respects. But not in all respects. Basically, they distributed a video Cambridge Analytica made, and they distributed it out throughout Nigeria that suggested that if this particular candidate, Buhari, had come into power, that Sharia law was going to come to Nigeria. And they posted lots of material on the internet that showed, you know, beheadings and killings. And strangely, this riled a lot of people up against, Muslims at the time. They were showing graphically brutal violence, scenes of people being macheted to death, their legs hacked off, their skulls caved in. It was voter suppression in the most crude and basic kind, and it was targeted at Buhari voters in Buhari regions to basically scare the shit out of them and stop them from voting. The film said explicitly, if Buhari wins, women would wear the veil, Sharia law would be introduced, and the inference is that you would be macheted to death. And yeah, this was what they did in Nigeria. They were also very effective, apparently, according against to their own publications, in the Ukraine. In fact, NATO said that SCL and Cambridge Analytica's revolutionary training would help Ukraine defend against Russia. As far as I remember, we installed a far-right regime in the Ukraine. And that's not a good thing, although it is strangely in line with the beliefs of Robert Mercer, who is the owner of Cambridge Analytica. So, you know, make of that what you will. Essentially, they did the very same thing with the Trump campaign and also with the Brexit campaign. What was really strange about the Brexit campaign was this was the thing that alerted the Observer to Cambridge Analytica several months ago. That basically, what they did was they set up a shell company called Aggregate IQ in Canada and used this to siphon all the information and data through so that nobody was able to see their modelling, because this was taking place outside of the UK. It was not subject to the usual electoral rules, and therefore like firms like Leave EU and Leave.UK and UKIP and various other people were able to funnel millions and millions of what is essentially legal overspending on campaigns into SCL, Cambridge Analytica, the pockets of Steve Bannon and Robert Mercer, in order to manipulate opinion. What that means in both cases is that you may well have had very good reasons to vote for Brexit. You may well have had very good reasons to vote for Trump. But it just so happens that wealthy billionaires that have intimate connections to British military intelligence, British military psychological warfare operations, US Marine Corps, the Pentagon, Marconi Defense Systems, and various other what would be determined to be the deep state, wanted you to vote that way for whatever reason. I don't actually know what it is, if I'm brutally honest. I think it's something to do with Renaissance technologies, Robert Mercer's hedge fund foundation. I'm pretty sure that they're the ones that are actually behind this so-called Russian collusion, in a sense that Trump is probably just an idiot that was there to take fall. As I've said before, I do not believe for a second that he thought he was going to win the campaign. He didn't put any money into the campaign at all. He was Robert Mercer that put money into the campaign. Now, here's the very interesting thing. Cambridge Analytica and Robert Mercer were actually backing Robert Cruz right up until the point that Hillary Clinton saw that Donald Trump was such an idiot, ludicrous candidate, seemingly in their eyes, that they decided to bash him publicly and to promote him. What's really bizarre about this is that the DNC actually tried to promote Donald Trump as a candidate, as a viable candidate, because they felt that they could beat him. And with all that momentum, Robert Mercer switched from Ted Cruz to Donald Trump and employed his huge Cambridge Analytica network to employ these very same tactics. and manipulate people through fake news. One of the ways that they did it was they set up a town in Macedonia, which became known, I think it's called Medvedev's, and it became known as Trumpvedev's, where basically they hired all the university students and all the young people to sit there and just churn out fake articles, either promoting Trump or bashing Hillary Clinton. And this was put everywhere, basically. You know, this is what they do. This is voting, voter targeting, branding, and creating like nonsense. This is what I was saying months ago. This is where fake news came from. Initially, fake news was because Breitbart kept putting out stories owned by Robert Mercer, edited by Steve Bannon, were putting out stories that Hillary's got a brain tumor, Hillary's got the cannibalism disease, etc., etc., etc. And I would even go so far as to suggest that Pizzagate was possibly one of these SCL Cambridge Analytica utilizations. I think that it really, really is very possible that it was. But SCL, which is the founder of the company, it's an organization that boasts it's conducted behavioral change programs in over 60 countries, and its clients have included the British Ministry of Defense, the US State Department, and NATO. Right, this is the organization that is making you vote in these particular ways. This is a quasi private organization that has changed the result of elections in Nigeria and Kenya that we know of. Probably in the UK and America as well, and boasts of behavioural change programs in over 60 countries. In 2010, the MOD paid £40,000 to SEL for the provision of external training. In 2015, it paid them £150,000 for the procurement of target audience analysis. In addition, SCL also carries a secret clearances List X contractor for the Ministry of Defence. A List X site is a commercial site on British soil that is approved to hold UK government information marked as confidential level and as above. Essentially, SCL got the green light to hold British government secrets on its premises. Right. Meanwhile, the US State Department has a contract for $500,000 with SCL. According to an official, this was to provide research and analytical support in connection with our mission to counter terrorist propaganda and disinformation overseas. But this was not the only work that SCL had been contracted with the US government. In May 2015, SCL received $1 million to support NATO operations in Eastern Europe targeting Russia. The company delivered a three-month course in Riga which taught advanced counter-propaganda techniques designed to help member states assess and counter Russia's propaganda in Eastern Europe. Basically, this is Cambridge Analytica. Mark Turnbull, who joined Alexander Nix, he's the person that was basically filmed by Channel 4. He heads up SCL as well as certain arms of Cambridge Analytica. There's a lot of other strange. Like Mark Turnbull used to work at Bell Pottinger. Bell Pottinger is a Pentagon-funded PR. Basically, it's a PR firm and has worked again with people like the Pentagon. It's one of these nefarious marketing and PR groups that basically tries to sort of like, you know, manipulate dictators' public persona so that we can utilize them and get their mineral resources. The firm's headed up by Nigel Oakes, who's an old Etonian, and basically he's got links to the royals and was once rumoured to be a British spy. In 1992, Oakes described his work in a trade journal as using the same techniques as Aristotle as Hitler. We appeal to people on an emotional level to get them to agree on a functional level. The president of SCL is Sir Geoffrey Patty, a former Conservative MP and the defence minister in Margaret Thatcher's government. Patty also co-founded Tainton Management, which lists a British aerospace engineering systems and Lockheed Martin among its clients. One of the company's directors is wine millionaire and former British Special Forces officer in Borneo and Kenya, Roger Gabb, who in 2006 donated £500,000 to the Conservative Party. Gabb was also fined by the Electoral Commission for failing to include his name on an advert in a local newspapers arguing for a leave vote in the British Brexit referendum. SEL's links to the Conservative Party continue through the company's chairman and venture capitalist Julian Wheatland. He also happens to be the chairman of Oxfordshire Conservatives Association. The organisation has been funded by Jonathan Marland, who is the former Conservative Party treasurer, a trade envoy under David Cameron, and a close friend of Tory election strategist Lynn Crosby. Property tycoon and Conservative donor Vincent Tikunjian was the single largest SEL shareholder for over a decade. Another former director is Gavin McNichol, founder of counter-terrorism Eden intelligence firm, who ran a G8 plus meeting on financial intelligence cooperation at the behest of the British government. Previous board members include Sir James Alan Mitchell, the former Prime Minister of the previous British colony St Vincent and the Grenadines, and he's been a Privy Councillor on the Queen's Advisory Board since 1985. The British military and royal establishments to SEL are further highlighted through another director, Rear Admiral John Tolhurst, a former Assistant Director of Naval Warfare in the Ministry of Defence and an aide-de-camp to the Queen. The Queen's third cousin, Lord Ivan Mountbatten, was also sitting on SEL's advisory board, but it's not clear if he still holds that that role. So, yeah, you've got a lot of British establishment, military psychological warfare operations, old Etonians and right-wing politicians and lords and that type of thing that are connected to the sort of parent company that grew on to be Cambridge Analytica. And what's really, really frightening about a lot of the things that Cambridge Analytica do, aside from the obvious connections to British military intelligence and their clientele that runs to the US military and NATO, is the very, very similarity in their techniques to JTRG operations which is GCHQ, Internet Counter-Propaganda, psychological warfare, basically, where they've set up like fake gurus, put out fake news, put out fake stories, red herrings, set up sock puppet accounts and use bots in order to spread disinformation. Do you know how that's how Pizzagate got to be so big? Because it was spread by millions and millions of bots, and it was never actually determined who was behind this, but somebody with a huge capacity to create such a marketing campaign or whatever you want to call it was the person behind that, and it came from a single source. Apparently this is what they were able to determine. So that's crazy. But you've got places like Eglin Air Force Base that basically what they do is they use 4chan and Reddit and places like this as a way to manipulate public opinion. Eglin Air Force Base is a major hub for Pentagon domestic manipulation programs. It funded a series of research papers onto how to establish majority views on social media forums, influence conversation, and manipulate information. In 2014, it was shown that one of the most common posters on Reddit forums, this was the server at Eglin Air Force Base. There were hundreds of thousands of posts that were seemingly coming from this particular one military psychological warfare operation department that were entering into conversations, directing conversations, and pretending to be human beings when they weren't actually human beings. But there's loads of this. In 2014, it was shown that Twitter feeds and social media posts were analysed as part of a DOD-funded project into manipulating emotions. SMISC, Social Media and Strategic Communications, looked at how to influence behaviour on social media. DARPA used this particular program in an effort to counter misinformation that was spreading through the web, basically this meant removing anti-government propaganda. JTRG, as I say, feeds false information into the net, creates false gurus and sock puppet accounts. Sock puppet accounts in 2011 were proven to promote pro-US propaganda. There was an operation called Operation Earnest Voice, and this basically created fake grassroots charity organizations, which is called AstroTurfing, to manipulate opinion around certain topics that would favour American foreign policy, and this was admitted by former CIA Director David Petraeus. like there's absolutely loads. Just to give you an idea of like the different things that JTube can do, Underpass changes the outcome. These are different programs. Underpass changes the outcome of online polls. Badger is a mass DDoS email swamping. Warpath is a mass DDoS on SMS. Silverlord is a disruption of videos. Miniature Hero disrupts Skype. Spring Bishop finds private photos on social media. Angry Pirate disables accounts. Gateway increases traffic to a website. Gestator is an amplification of a message, and Changeling spoofs email accounts. So essentially what they can do is they can get you to sign up to porn, child porn and stuff like that, via your own internal mechanism, your own particular online personality. And you wouldn't know about it until they kick your door off and shows you that they've done it. JTrig was actually used. Now, here's the thing. JTrig was used in the Falklands because, obviously, you may not know what's it called. Malvinas is the real name of it. It's essentially it's in Argentina, but I don't know the entire reasons behind it, and I have no strong opinion, really, on it. But it is English sovereign territory or UK sovereign territory or British. I don't know, in fact. But essentially, it's hotly contested because, you know, it's a tiny patch of land on Argentina. Why do we own this? But the British government utilised JTrig in order to change the perception and promote self pride in the identity of being a UK person in Argentina in order to manipulate to benefit the UK government. So, which is not dissimilar in tactics again from the things that SCL and Cambridge Analytica were doing. I mean, the other thing is, it was basically what's really terrifying about it is that Cambridge Analytica admits they set up shell companies like Aggregate IQ, and they do it out of country in ways that are loopholes around laws so it can't be investigated properly, and then they disintegrate everything. I saw Alexander Nix admitting recently that when they were with the Trump campaign, they apparently employed, this sounds all science fiction and a bit sort of like Mission Impossible to me, but they employed some sort of self-destruct timer in all their email correspondence and servers so that after a certain time it would corrupt and be essentially a non-detectable trail between themselves. And this is one of the things that they boasted and bragged about to their clients, that if you want it, we can make it look like there's nothing to do with you at all. And where they basically messed up with Trump and the Brexit campaign is that initially they boasted about it until people pointed out that hang on, that's in the case of America, well, in the case of both of them, it's nefarious and it's unethical and it's mind control on a mass scale. And in the case of the Brexit, the European Union referendum, it was illegal because it was grossly overstepping the amount of campaign funds that could be put into this particular type of propaganda or this particular type of marketing campaign or advertising. And it ran to millions and millions. But because, as I say, it was stealthily done through a Canadian firm, that a lot of it cannot be lawfully looked into, apparently. So we shall see. So this is the thing. But the other thing that troubles me particularly is to say Robert Mercer himself and what he might want for the world or America. I mean, essentially, his employees at Renaissance Technologies have uniformly said that he's a racist. Like a white supremacist, a complete white supremacist, that he has incredibly far right views, and has often been known to yearn for an all white utopia on the land that is the United States. He also owns Breitbart, and he was the main sort of sponsor of Milo Yiannopoulos, Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, obviously, who used to work with Mark Collins Rector and Brock Pierce, the known paedophiles, and Milo Yiannopoulos, who apparently went to a party in Hollywood, possibly at Brock Pierce's house, or Mark Collins Rector's house, where he saw very young twinks being raped by older gentlemen who refuses to name because you know, discretion. Yeah, this is it. In fact, Breitbart opened in the UK as well to help UKIP, because Nigel Farage, who was the sort of big promoter of the Brexit and also the former leader of UKIP, is a close friend and was at one time, you know, in the services of Robert Mercer. Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon, who were also very, you know, integral in the Trump campaign, are also Mercer people. This is slightly concerning. Essentially, this is another gentleman who's not quite as wealthy, but he's still wealthier than you or I will ever be, I'm afraid, called William Reginald II, who is an even more avowed racist that definitely hates black people and definitely wants America to be an all-white ethno-state. And he's the principal founder of the Charles Martel Society and the National Policy Institute, which are far-right think tanks. The National Policy Institute is the person that pays Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer is the gentleman with the strange haircut that got punched by the bloke. He's the far right guy that I don't know what he's calling himself this week. Identitarian. He actually coined the phrase alt-right, and this is what's troubling me as well, because basically through Breitbart, through the creation of this thing called the alt-right, and through InfoWars and Zero Hedge and Drudge and stuff like that, essentially you're seeing a promotion of far-right material, far-right propaganda. And I don't think a lot of people realise that that's what it is. And I thought it was very troubling that InfoWars refused to speculate on Robert Mercer. They never mentioned him in response to this Cambridge Analytica thing, which leads me to believe that somehow some Mercer money has got into InfoWars, which would explain why they shifted so far to the right in their particular theories and output. I also think that that's an indication. InfoWars is the strongest indication as well, other than the fact that Trump put no money into his campaign, that he didn't want to win, that Robert Mercer and Steve Bannon wanted him to win because they felt that he would be their puppet. Whether he has been or not is a completely separate argument. And I would suggest that actually, to an extent, it probably hasn't been as successful for them as they expected. But the fact that InfoWars have got themselves into such a situation where they're basically having to defend Trump and defend the president and defend the government, when essentially they're a conspiracy, anti-government, anti-blah, blah, blah. And they're wrapping themselves up in such nonsense about communist, globalist, deep state, FBI involvement, Uranium One, which is bullshit, QAnon, which is bullshit. It's all nonsense. It's all like a just leading you down a rabbit hole. And I think the reason that they did that was because they'd never expected themselves to be in this situation where they would have to defend Trump. I think they were going to be in a cushy situation where they could say, look how corrupt the system is. We know everyone loves Trump and Hillary won. And because of that, they've basically knackered themselves. They've got themselves into a particularly difficult situation. And it's really troubling. The further and final sort of point that I think is very, very troubling, and I appreciate that I've been talking without you like for about 25 minutes. I apologise like for my rant, but is that the connection, the point of how Cambridge Analytica was so successful with this is to do with what's called the total information control grid, which is the fact that basically all your information is out there on social media. But really, that's small potatoes, okay? You've got groups like Palantir, and you've got groups like Heavey, and you've got like their entire point is to harvest data and get involved in situations like Trapwire. Trapwire is a sort of facial recognition technology that harvests all your data, and by looking at your facial recognition within seconds can get up a total profile of you and a total profile of your actions. And through sophisticated algorithms and psychology bots, they're starting to do things like predicting pre-crime and predicting actions and predicting behavior. And if they can't predict it, they're manipulating it to try and influence it. And that's very troubling as well. I mean, like, you know, Palantir for one is Peter Tile's group. Peter Tile was one of the people that through InQtel, which is the CIA's market enterprise sort of arm, was able to, with Sean Parker, who was a former CIA hacker, set up Facebook. You know, this is the sort of the mechanism that is behind this. And I think this all basically ties in with a lot of the sort of things that we've been talking about the way that, that Facebook manipulates behavior and gets you depressed and gets you thinking that other people's lives are better than you and gets you to sort of modify your behavior and create a persona online so that you are more easily put into these particular groups and manipulated in a certain way. And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, yeah, there's a lot on the left as well. And you're absolutely right. I, for one, think that the SJWs, I hate SJWs. I can't stand it. I'm wearing a Tarka T-shirt, right? Tarka. Love Tarka. Tarka's America tour was banned because of idiots, okay? I don't like what you would term political correctness. I don't like homophobia or racism. But I think you can make jokes about stereotypes. And I think we're all adult enough to use words that might be offensive because they're just sounds, okay? It's about intent, okay? But I also think that there's a lot of people that use that to basically weaselly get out of what their intent is. And if that is your intent, own it. Man up, own it, or shut up. But I think that the proliferation of SJWs is part of this as well because basically it feeds into that. It makes people hate the left wing. It absolutely makes people hate the left wing, like justifiably so, because they're shrieking nincompoops. And so it drives people towards the right. Also, you've got a lot of the sort of online communities like MGTOW and pickup artists and men's right advocacy that have a lot of subtle right-wing agendas behind it as well. And throughout these whole swathes of mechanisms, this is, I think, all connected in a way. And I think this is the point, this is the thing that the mainstream is not going to talk about, is that there has been a concerted right-wing coup behind the scenes of American power. What's ludicrous is that basically people like Alex Jones are talking about the left-wing Chinese globalist CIA. CIA was founded by the Dulles brothers, right, through Skull and Bones. I don't know whether you noticed that Skull and Bones is like logo is the death's head. I don't know whether you know that the Dulles brothers work for the Weimar. Right, okay, they're not keen on black people. Okay, if anything, the establishment is very, very right-wing. Okay, are there left-wing people? As I was saying, yes, of course. Are there idiots on the left-wing? Yeah, of course there are. George Soros, I think, is an interesting point because I think he's CIA, and I'm aware that basically he was used in the overthrow of Macedonia. But I think there are a lot of the things that are leveled against him that at the minute are agitprop. That are there to actually, he's a bad guy, yeah, but his role in this is to justify, is to be the boogeyman, so to speak, to justify a lot of this right-wing rhetoric, to say, yes, Black Lives Matter are sods because of George Soros. Yes, Antifa are sods because of George Soros. And if you look at it, the connections to them via their financial strains are weak. Weak at best. Okay. I don't think he's a good guy. I think he's a git. But I think in this particular instance that he's being used as agitprop, particularly when you look at the financial delineations from, say, Robert Mercer, Wayne Regering, and various other people like that, the connections throughout the broader sphere to the intelligence agencies and, you know, essentially what we call deep state or whatever. Then I think that proves, well, it strongly suggests that element at this particular time is what we call agitprop, which is essentially counter propaganda to justify something that wouldn't normally be in a lot of people's sort of character. Now, here's the thing about any extremism, right? Okay, like, and this goes for anybody. You don't think you're a bad person. The reason that you're an extremist is because you have to be to counter this very extreme threat that you're opposing. No, nobody goes into, nobody becomes like a neo-Nazi because they think that it's bad. They think that they're fighting against a Jewish world conspiracy or something equally as bad culture on Marxism or any other sort of, you know, essentially buzzword that is not actually real and is used to again to easily trigger people into a response. That's my very bleak take on the Cambridge Analytica saga. And I think that it is actually, there are some really, really troubling aspects to it that a lot of people aren't immediately aware of. I'd be hugely, hugely surprised if they were looked at in the mainstream.
Holy f...
Sorry, man.
Delete your Facebook, folks. Delete your Facebook. You're going on and explaining this extensive amount of connections that it has me thinking that, okay, if it is the Russians, maybe the Russians are either being played for something. Like, billions of dollars is important.
Yeah.
But who's getting them to do this?
Well, in my opinion, and again, I may be completely wrong about this, but I've always thought that the Russia collusion aspect to the Trump thing, I'm sure we talked about this last time. I think that his son, I think Manafort is in it up to his tits, right? Okay, he's just basically trying to get as much money from... Yeah, absolutely, right, okay. He's done. George Papadopoulos as well. I think he was trying to curry favour, as was Kushner and thing. I'm sure that they took those guys up to Trump, and I'm sure that Trump was sort of aware of it, but I would err on the side of stupidity, really, on that side. I think the actual collusion, I think the collusion with regards to Trump is money laundering, and they were setting up business propositions for later, okay? Whether that'll come out, I don't know. And I think that I think he probably has obstructed justice just by not shutting his mouth and letting them get on with the actual investigation. But I think the actual collusion with intent to get Donald Trump in was actually Mercer and Bannon and Renaissance Technologies. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it was something to do with Gazprom trying to basically maximise the amount of European countries that they supply with gas. I think it boils down to cold, hard cash. With that Luke Oil as well, I think it's to do with that. I think essentially that basically, in order to be very, very wealthy, Russia wants to supply a lot more of Europe with power, energy, more than it does at the minute. And I think that basically, because it would be economically bad to whatever, A, European, the EU, B, NATO, C, individual European states, that's being resisted at the time with a number of covert mechanisms, including the coup in the Ukraine. But I think what's really curious about this is that there's a certain aspect from America as well, a certain aspect that thinks that basically that it would be also beneficial for them, for the EU, to be less powerful in a monetary sense. Certainly Germany's economic power over the world. And so it's very shady what's going on behind the scenes. And I don't think that you could. It's as simple as you could say America wants this, or Russia wants this, or the UK wants this, or Europe wants this. I think there's a lot of things that you could say that these things don't want, but this is the point. I think these factions, so to speak, not in a sort of secret society way, in a business sense, and maybe in an ideological sense, because obviously if you can principally sort of like get one ideology favoured, it makes your manoeuvring a lot more straightforward. But I think that's what's gone on. I think that there's been a right-wing coup that involves UKIP, probably stooges like Tommy Robinson, who's like everything that he says just seems to... Stephen Yaxley-Nana. No, sorry, Paul Harris, who, if he's not MI5 or at least being prodded by MI5, I will buy a hat and I will eat my hat. Because all of these sort of like rabble risers, anti-Muslim rhetoric, including the right-wing alternative media just so happens to tacitly fall into UK and American government foreign policy. Like, and it just so happens to sort of create stereotypes. And you know what? That is the very, very nature and the very, very sort of the raison d'etre of J-Trick, which is to basically influence surreptitiously via seemingly legitimate grassroots organizations.
Now, isn't it possible that people looked at these organizations' plans or said, like, oh, that's a good idea, let's see if we can do that, or they had the resources and said, let's see if we can make this happen? How do we know that this isn't somebody else's playbook? Because I know a lot of people that are listening who may be right wing or maybe left wing or maybe, you know, no wings at all, or maybe buffalo wing, preferably hot sauce, or, you know, sweet and sour garlic sauce. No, it's not too bad. Frank's Red Hot, I appreciate. I'm kind of hungry. Sorry. How do we know that for these people who are listening and saying, like, oh, the U.S. had this plan, this is a U.S. plan, it's deep state, Neil said that it was XYZ when it's actually ABC.
Mate, well, this is the point. I don't know what the purpose of this is. All I can say is this has happened, and this is connected to this. This has also happened, which also goes in the same direction. I don't know what the actual purpose of this is, if I'm brutally honest. I don't know what it would be, but it seems that what is wanted by Cambridge Analytica, who would, you know, have all these connections to the point where basically, you know, they're essentially an extension of some form of officialdom in their operations. They wanted Trump to be in. They wanted Brexit to be in. They wanted this particular person in Nigeria. They wanted this particular person in Kenya. And what that's about is about controlling resources, right? Okay, Nigeria and Kenya and numerous other African states that they've been involved in. Who's the other place that they're involved in? Trinidad as well. It's all they admitted to being involved in an operation in Trinidad's elections that also was sort of cross contaminated with an operation that was going on with Palantir at the time that was about facial recognition pre-crime technology. It's mad. It's nuts, man. This is the point. It's huge. It's a really, really broad-ranging thing. Just the very fact that there are these private contractors, like, you know, private intelligence contractors, that can covertly influence elections, that's terrifying. You combine it with the sort of like the ideology behind it, and their obvious connections to the establishment and military operations. That's even more terrifying. The way that they're trying to spread this feeling, like, there has been a distinct rise in far-right rhetoric in Europe, in the UK, in America, and certainly in the online community. And it would seem that basically it's all come from this same sort of particular node that all share information and cross-contaminate stories and share them backwards and forwards. Well, guess who sponsors it? Well, guess who finances, like, one of the main ones? The same guy that owns this particular company. That's what's really, really, really worrying. And the willingness of the reason that this was so easily done is because basically governments want this. Right, and we know that they want this because they're in touch with groups like Palantir, and they're setting up like systems like Trapwire, and they're recording us right now through that phone that's over there, and the recording is like, you know, they've read all your text messages, and they know your internet habits. There's a meme going around at the minute. Mm-hmm. It's a guy like pissing himself laughing, and it's basically like NSA operative when you open an in private page, and it's like they know what you're doing, like. On social media, you really shouldn't put anything on social media that you're not happy shouting out your living room window. And a very, very sort of like basic example of that is how many drug dealers do you know that have got chopped, that have got pinched off the back of posting shit on Instagram?
I don't know any.
Well, A friend of mine knows some. So, but trust me,
I'm a suburban dad. You know, I stick to Teletubbies and, you know, stuffed animals at this point.
The police have actually this was a while ago actually, but since then there have been similar ones. I just can't remember the name. I'm just remembering this particular one. There was a stop snitching movement. Stop talking to the police, blah blah blah. It was initiated within a certain element of hip hop, and as a response to that, the police put out DVDs called Keep Snitching, where they basically talked about this very same thing, about people sort of self-criminating either through lyrics or more likely on social media, like shooting a gun off or whatever, and then, you know, they go around and say, look, you've done it on film, mate, you know, it's done and you're on probation or whatever. Chief Keef got done by that. I mean, it's not quite the same thing, but basically his probation got revoked because a journalist took him to a shooting range and he wasn't allowed to be around guns at the time. But there's been innumerable cases where people have incriminated themselves on social media, shall we say.
You know, I've got a couple questions that are coming from the audience as well, and I would incriminate myself if I did not do this, because the people who are asking it are the main supporters of the show. That being Lee, who is always first in chat, and Lee, I appreciate you being awesome. Two questions. First one is about the senior executive services. Apparently the DOJ is getting... Or the DOJ is discussed or getting discussed with this on other channels, and I'm like media channels and in general, social media, other podcasts that are being discussed. Is there any connection between them, or is this something that is like a red herring?
I don't know what that is. What is that, man? Are you familiar with that?
I'm actually for the senior executive service. Actually, believe it or not, I don't. It's more of an American, organization. Whether it's government or NGO, hopefully Lee can get that to me, and then I'll ask it in the closed session.
I do apologize. I'm not familiar with that particular agency. Is it? I assume.
Well, our forms of government is off of the Westminster parliamentary system. You've got a parliament and a prime minister, I got a parliament and a prime minister. We both share the same head of state in our countries. American form of government, I know very little. I know enough. I know how it kind of works, but specialized departments like that, I have no idea. Bram is asking, do you think that there is a race war coming?
No, of course there's not a race war coming. Like, I think that's promoted... along with nonsense like white genocide. Like, white genocide, the only genocide that doesn't actually include a genocide. Like, it's the broadest usage of the term ever. I don't think that. I'll tell you how to alleviate white genocide. Continue being white. Then marry a white woman or a white man. Have a white kid. Then die, and it's not your problem anymore, is it? There you go, problem solved. Also, this nonsense about white genocide, race mixing, it will also be a genocide to the black race as well, or the African, or the Asian, or Japanese, or whatever, because you will have a mixture. So it's not like, you know, it's not like a virus that takes over. And thirdly, who the hell cares?
Exactly. So I don't understand.
I don't think that there's a race war coming on. I think that there's a lot of people that are trying to stoke that. But what's really weird about this is a lot of that. So it's all just like victim behavior. It's all just like, oh no, we're so persecuted, and that is wildly ironic. So no, personally, I don't think there is a race war coming on. For example, there's a joke, there's a very good joke by Stuart Lee, who's a brilliant English stand-up, and he says, like all sensible people, I'm terrified by Muslims, except for the ones I know who seem fine.
Bram saying that there are people who do want a race war, and I'm going to say, like...
I'm sure there are.
Yeah, because there's crazy people in this world.
I beg your pardon, sorry. I totally interrupted you. I apologize.
There's a lot of crazy people in this world who, like, we as humans, we're very tribalist in nature. You know, we've got our denizens. Other people have whatever they have as far as shows are concerned, or whatever group that they're involved in, that we make fun of, and they'll make fun of us. And, you know, it's our nature to rally around a brand or rally around a concept or an idea or a value and point at the other. Of course.
There's always been people that want a race war, and there's always been people that basically push racial identitarianism or racial superiority or whatever. Not just white people. I could show you a lot of black superioritists. Mm-hmm. They're idiots. I'll give you a link to their YouTube channel. I watched them and laughed. They're idiots. There's idiots all across the board. Personally, I personally don't understand. You're taking pride. Taking pride in something that you have absolutely nothing to do with you. It's like celebrating your feet. I don't get it. I really don't get it. If I'm honest, there's lots of silly arguments around it. It's whatever. And the argument that always comes back to is like, well, how come you can have a black pride or a gay pride or whatever, but if you have a white pride, then it's deemed somehow racist? Well, it's for a couple of reasons, right? Okay. One, because being as weird as the majority, it would seem terribly gauche, right? It's rude, right? Okay, you could go to Africa and have a white pride, but you can't have a majority pride, because you know what? The point about not being a minority, every day is kind of white pride day. Nobody's ever sat there and basically said, no, you're not allowed to be white, you're denigrated because you're white, in the same way that institutionally and societally people were denigrated against, say, Irish, Muslims, blacks, Chinese, that type of thing. And the second reason is because every time you do, some dickhead ruins it, right? Okay? By acting like a wanker. So don't blame minorities. Blame that wanker. And it's the same thing with, why can't we hang a UK flag? You can if you want, but the problem is, again, it's been tainted by arseholes. Don't blame people reacting to arseholes. Blame the arseholes. I saw the most ridiculous thing the other day, someone saying, the reason that the far right is on the rise is because of these Antifa people. It's like, what's Antifa called? Anti-fascist, right? It's a response. The name is the clue. And it's not an organization. It's not like a group like the Aryan Brotherhood that get together and have meetings. It's an idea. It's people that associate themselves as not liking fascism, right? Okay. And the majority of people would say that not liking fascism is probably a good thing. Are there people who identify as Antifa that are pricks? Yes, I know some. They're pricks.
And, you know, about 99% of what you say makes sense. Although I will point out that the Antifa, at least concept, the ideology was born out of the Marxist communist ideology from the 30s. And again, I'm not going to say I don't own any Jordan Peterson books, but I do listen to various forms of radio or interviews from both the left and the right.
C-16 completely wrong, didn't he? Has anyone been arrested for that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
John Peterson's main point was that it's now illegal to use certain pronouns or to use different pronouns in describing people, because he completely misread the C-16 bill, which basically said that you can't discriminate against people for it. It didn't say that you'll go to prison for using the wrong pronoun, and that was the platform that you basically bounced off, which is incorrect.
Well, right now, correct. At least there has not been anybody jailed for it, thankfully.
Well, you can't be jailed for it, even in the thing, even if you actually, it's not actually to do with using the incorrect term. It's if you discriminate personally because that person identifies as transgender. And even if you break the new C-16 law and do discriminate against somebody on the basis of them being transgender, there's still no prison term. The actual largest sentence is a fine.
And what happens if you don't pay that fine?
Well, now I suppose you would go to prison eventually, but that's not the initial sentence. But you could say that about anything. You could say that, okay, we go to prison for a parking ticket then. Well, I mean, you can, obviously, but you have to be a bit of a pillock to get to that stage.
Well, and this is my thing. It's like, you know, I don't care if somebody wants to be identified as a pineapple or be called, you know, hair pineapple, whomever. To me, it doesn't matter.
No, absolutely. And I don't buy any of this, like, oh, you use their dead name bullshit. No, piss off, right? Okay. Like, we can talk about this. Like it's nonsense. Oh, some
exactly.
People gone overboard with what could be termed political correctness. Of course they have, yeah. But they're idiots. Nobody listens to them. Like, this is the point. Like, it's bizarre. You'll notice that the majority of offensive comedians, or like, for example, like Ian George Carlin, Bill Hicks, Dave Chappelle, that make Frankie Boyle, Jim Jeffries, that make challenging but deeply, deeply offensive material, 90% of them are left wing. Because, like, what people do, it's all, again, it's all about putting up fake facades. And whilst I'm very conscious that basically there is an overuse of the term Nazi, an overuse of the demonization of people that have conservative values, which you're perfectly entitled to, and lumping in with them, far right or Nazi. And you know what? You can actually be Nazi. It's fine. We can still probably be friends. We won't agree on that. And I won't stand for any of your shit around my black friends, for example. But, you're allowed to have completely different opinions and still get on with people. That's fine. Christ, if I hated racists, I'd never have spoke to my grandparents.
Well, that comes down to ideology, really. It's not a matter of, not even ideology. It comes down to whether somebody's a dick or not. Like, I'm known to be a raging asshole. I'm a dick when it comes to social media, when it comes to being able to speak my mind, when it comes to antagonizing people. Admit that freely, 100%. If people, and my attitude behind it is that if you don't want to be called out for your stupid shit, don't stop saying stupid shit. It's a pretty simple thing. If you're saying ridiculous things, you're going to be called ridiculous. And you're going to be called ridiculous in a ridiculous fashion because it's hilarious. I will take that mantle as being an asshole 100%. At the end of the day, though, there's a difference between being an asshole for calling out ridiculousness, such as believing, the age-old blue avian sphere being alliance, I'm a time-traveling space Jesus, because it's nonsense, it's complete fantasy, it's Star Wars in the movie V, but, you know, brought forward in, like, a live pro wrestling form. You know, I make fun of people who watch pro wrestling. I watch pro wrestling. There's a difference between, you know, watching it when you're knowing that it's fake and trying to understand the behind-the-scenes reasons of why this stuff is happening versus, you know, saying like, oh my God, it's like the storylines are so fantastic. No, the writing's shit. But
it's just fun. Christ, yeah. I like black metal. This is grown men who wear armor. Armor! Like, then it's ludicrous, right? Can you allow
it's
like
a show. It's entertainment. It's depending on whether you're suspending your belief and then buying into it or not. And, you know, if somebody has a certain ideology or belief and they're using that to outright advocate for either the destruction, the harm, or the marginalization of an entire group of people to a point where they do not have, you know, the basic human decency that everyone should have right to, then that, like, yeah, it's like, okay, so you believe this? That's fantastic. I'll talk to you. Sure, we can hang out. But, you know, like, you call somebody out on their bullshit. And you have to make it seem, it's like, that is not acceptable. Like, you can believe whatever you want, but there is a certain action that you have in the public that is acceptable in standard human interaction. And it, as a whole, and I think I had this discussion with I'm trying to remember who exactly it was that I had this discussion with. It might have actually been Laird Scranton, where it, you know, the idea of, okay, so, you know, like him and I had a disagreement about something, and he had a disagreement, and it was very strongly rooted in his position. I was very strongly rooted in my position. And I'm like, Laird, you're probably one of the people I respect the most. Social media breaks down that bond of face-to-face interaction. Like, even yes. Now, I'm hearing your voice, and I'm watching you on a screen that's 15 feet away. I know what you, I know your mannerisms. I know when you're being serious, when you're being outright cheeky. There is a certain amount of interaction that we have, even though you are across the pond several thousand kilometers away.
Yeah.
And we have that common decency back and forth. If you're looking at a screen, the natural triggers that we have as human beings, which are supposed to keep us alive so that we don't get pummeled by, you know, potentially people within the tribe or the pack that are carry a lot bigger clubs than we do, that we tend to hold back. If all you see is text, that's gone, because all you see is a profile picture.
Totally.
And text.
And it's worse than that, man, because to add on to that, the fact that you've got an audience, right? So even if you're not consciously sort of acknowledging that, you know that somebody's going to read your response. Okay, and you could curry favor one way or another, or you could lose favor, or you could appear to get punked. And you know, we're grown up, and that's still sort of a problem, like technically. But imagine if you'd like, Christ, being a teenager nowadays with social media, it must be an absolute minefield of. Because you've got everything magnified to the point where, I remember, say, being at school or whatever and doing something stupid or saying something stupid and going, I got away with that. Nobody heard it or nobody saw it or whatever. Okay, somebody's got it on Facebook. Then all of a sudden they can think that moment of shame is sort of, you know, cast in stone and spread around to all your peers forever. It's like for crying out loud, it's a difficult time to be a youngster.
And it's really interesting, and I'm not sure if she is watching this broadcast right now, whether on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, or Periscope. But I just had an article shared to my timeline, which kind of highlights exactly what we're talking about. And it's about Justin Trudeau, whom, son of the former prime minister, whom half the country who's over 50 loves, either one hates them, and anybody under a certain age doesn't even really know who he is. They just hear stories from their parents.
Yeah.
And he's has told Service Canada, which is kind of like the, I'm going to say the tech support / frontline customer service for a lot of, like, if you go get your driver's license renewed. I know it's provincial versus federal, but it kind of the idea. They're the ones that will renew and help you out to either, like, reset a password or, you know, deal with a government service. And he's stopped them from using the word mother, father, Mr. Mrs., and they're switching completely to gender-neutral pronouns. From, like, my perspective, I had a short-term contract with Service Canada where I was essentially a password reset monkey for 2.5 months. But as far as dealing with that level of frontline with the public, no, it wasn't my thing. So I don't even know how that would be applied, what the issue would be. And there's a large outcry about it from certain people who hold conservative beliefs within Canada. And
yeah.
I don't know who I know who the individual who shared it to my timeline, and it was probably used as an example of this is shit you're talking about. But I don't know who this Max guy is who originally posted it. I don't know SpencerFernando.com. It's not a mainstream news outlet.
Right.
Most of the ones we have in Canada are a joke anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, like it's that type of that mind manipulation belief to be able to prey on. Well, fears to get you to believe or act a certain way or hold a certain opinion about something.
Well, absolutely. I mean, is that actually true, or is that just like the rumor that's floating around at the minute?
I believe it was actually announced on the standard CTV, CBC, and other news channels. So, like, how it's being implemented though is being spun by the various news organizations differently, and. CTV is owned by Bell Canada, which is, what's the, it's kind of like your, like, do you get your internet through Sky, or do they yeah. offer? Okay, so like, think like Sky, or not Sky, but whomever Fox News is. They're basically like the Fox of
yeah.
Canada, but even more monolithic, where they are now actually leading an entire group of organizations, the CBC is included with this, that will completely prevent or allow them to block as internet service providers. They also own a shit ton of television channels, radio channels, and print news organizations, by the way. And they're a TV provider. So they're going to be fighting for the right to block, like, Pirate Bay, you know, any TV streaming service.
Right,
not
yeah,
because
yeah.
because it's
yeah.
illegal.
It's, yeah.
But because it's... Yeah. You know, so they're spinning it one way that basically helps their cause overall, and CBC is filled with, 25-year-old interns that, or people who are just yeah. fresh out of college and they don't really have a understanding for the world. Their investigative journalism is not as good as it was. So they're spinning it the left progressive view. And then you've got your, standard Truth Blog 9000 who's has their own spin on it, and they're just pushing fear, fear, fear.
Mm.
And I'm looking at this, I'm like, this is I don't give a shit. Like, well, him, her, I mean, fucking call me. It's like, hey, you asshole, I don't care. You know? Yeah. Am I getting service? That's all I give
a
shit.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, usually what that boils down to is, can I go on my streaming sites and watch films and TV programs without paying for Netflix after they do it? And as far as friends tell me, yes, you still can, so don't panic about that. In regards, going back to sort of like this nonsense about, like, you know, impersonal pronouns and all this, the non-gender specific or whatever. Yeah, it's nonsense, isn't it? Like, I'm not an idiot. I realise that's stupid, right? It's massively oversensitive, and it does the point of actually highlighting difference rather than just getting over it. Like, you know what, we should all just be adult and just go, like, it's not a problem. Like, the problems are created, like, a lot of the arguments are straw man sort of arguments and stuff like that. Like, I remember, like, people were like, I don't want this person that used to be a man going and peeing next to my daughter. Well, all right, fine. And he goes in with your son. They've got to pee somewhere. Like, you know, when did toilets become a sort of hotbed of transgender rape? Like, I don't think that's a real issue. On the other hand, people don't know about this stuff. It's new, and people want to find out about it. And you can ask questions, and it's perfectly okay to ask questions without being termed a bigot, which is what happens. And so I'm sympathetic to that, because it's bollocks. It's utter bullshit. Right, okay. So, I am totally with you on that. I don't like this hypersensitive culture. I think it's counterproductive. I think we're all grown up enough to deal with things like that. And I think both can coexist. You cannot like or accept racism or homophobia and still find a joke that plays on stereotypes that could be considered racist or homophobic funny, right? It doesn't make you a bad person. You know, life is complicated. We're intelligent beings. You can do both. You can understand what shitposting is, right? I love a bit of shit posting, and trolling, and just being offensive for offensive sake. It's funny, right? It's brilliant. I like it. It boils down to intent. So I'm with what might be determined as the right on that. But what I think this is, sorry, I sort of got sidetracked from this earlier. I think that actually most people are. I think this concept of, like, shrieking left wing, and I think to an extent the concept of of everyone on the right being like, "Way," is nonsense, right? Okay, there's a broad spectrum, but it's that creating of this simplistic stereotypes, if you want, like talking points, that is very, very beneficial to all these hideous machinations that we've been talking about, Cambridge Analytica, SEL, and stuff like that. Because, put very, very simply, right, okay, if I know how you're going to act in one situation, I'm going to know how you act in another situation. If people can be more easily pigeonholed into groups, we can know how to stimuli response mm-hmm. and organize them in a more simplified way. If you're involved in a group, particularly if you have some emotional connection to a group, we can manipulate you to a point where you don't want to lose favor within that group, which is like kind of cult mentality, but it's like in a very extreme level. But basically, you know, like you get that in school. You know, that's called social conditioning, mm-hmm. right? Okay. There are certain things that are not acceptable, and that happens in any particular group that defines itself on a particular thought, understanding, or interest. So that's the thing. But again, this just boils back to the sort of the whole point that I was going on about. Is that we're hearing a tiny bit about Cambridge Analytica at the minute, and it is terrifying. But if you take a step back and look at the broader implications, it's mind melting. It's absolutely ludicrous. Every single aspect of it is really ridiculous. And I think there are five distinct aspects of this, what they actually do and what they influence, and that's insane. Their connections to broader military intelligence, the distinct similarities to JTRIG and other known military intelligence operations, the rise through these particular billionaires that seem to be connected to these organizations of far right institutions, and then ultimately the total control grid, the sort of like utilization of information as a whole. It's real, sort of like Christ.
And you know, for those things, and I'm not going to. I hate this part, but it's also the part that we need to do, or else we can't grow. And it's also the part where we get to really, really help put some context into why that master level Patreon account is always a good idea. I'm going to close off this part of the episode, which I think. Let's put it this way. If we're going for an hour and a half, it's because this is good for the public at large, and you need to hear it. At the same time, I got to make sure our masters get their value, and they've been extremely patient with me. Oh my goodness. They're some of the best fans and subscribers I could ever have, or anybody could ever hope for, because they are that amazing. Let me see if my iPad actually powers up. I almost drained the battery yesterday. Oh, there we go. Ha-ha, I've got some power. And just make sure I can log back into TeamViewer. I'm doing the old trick where I'm using TeamViewer to log into there. But we've got some cool new toys and some cool new services which allow me to reduce the amount of stuff I have to worry about whenever I'm shutting things on and off. So if you want to just chill out or relax, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a couple minutes. I'm going to start the scheduling for the scheduling for the masterclass proper, which will then be posted on Patreon in the next couple of minutes. And for anybody else who is listening who is not part of the master group, go to patreon.com/denoflore, sign up. It's $9 a month. We do one free draw a month for masters and illustrious masters for some free swag. And it's either custom designed or custom modified, or just some of the stuff that, you get for free. And heck, if you win, that's basically your subscription back right there. Neil, thank you very much. Hold on, and I'm going to play some tunes here. This is... Well, I haven't actually heard the Enigmas and Shit track for a while. 3, 2, 1, go! Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in to this episode 84 of the Masterclass. Will be coming up shortly, so grab yourself a drink, go to the washroom, pet your dog, do whatever you need to do. You will get the notice on Patreon very shortly.